Blog Talk Radio.
Awaken to empowerment. It's time for love and a consciousness boost. It's time to create your ideal life. This is Carol Parisi, live here on this Memorial Day with Nancy G. Hey, Nance, how you doing?
Very good.
I decided to let the wonderful Boston play a little longer. Such an awesome song. Such an awesome song. So, what did you do on this fine Memorial Day? Hello? Oh, dropped the caller. Something happened. Don't know why. There she is. Okay.
Bizarre.
Hey, what happened?
Bizarre. I don't know. We have a really bad storm here, so that could have something to do with it.
What did you do on this fine Memorial Day?
Not much of nothing. Just relaxing, hanging out. Eating some good food. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, it's a beautiful day here in Chi-Town, so you guys are getting storms in sunny southern Florida?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was pretty nice for most of the day then. The storm came in and pretty nasty. Normally I don't care, but I do have some friends who are sailing. And we're sailing into port as the storm was arriving, so I was hoping they would make it here safely.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, very cool. Well, you know, I got a new microphone. Steve bought me a microphone, and I'm just going to see if this would actually work. So I'm going to give it a plug-in. And
okay.
I have no idea what I'm doing. Can you hear me?
Yes, louder.
Oh, you know what? I've got this in my computer and I'm using a telephone. Never mind, I'm not using the switchboard off the computer. Okay, never mind. It's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Okay.
All right, today is Memorial Day. It's a day of remembrance, to remember those who sacrificed all for the great land of America. I had cousins that died in Pearl Harbor. I had many people in my military. I know you had a brother-in-law. You have a brother-in-law that was in the military, correct?
Yep. Yeah, I think he's still active. I don't know if he actually retired yet or not.
Okay. All right. Well, great day. Great day. Think and Grow Rich. Did you listen to the Think and Grow Rich show from the Steve Beamon show last night?
I did. It was an awesome show.
Yeah. Wasn't that an awesome show? What did you like the best about that show? We didn't go through any of the principles, which we will today.
Right. No, I mean, you don't have a finite amount of time. No, I thought it was very, very pertinent. It seemed very on target about things. I don't know. It just seemed like you guys are getting more polished with what you're doing and more concise. And it was a very good show.
Well, it was really a fun show. It was really, really a fun show.
It seemed like you guys are really enjoying it. You can kind of feel that you were really, it was a topic that you had some passion about, and I was really enjoying having that dialogue.
It was really great. So, guess what? We're going to be talking about epigenetics next week.
That's cool. I did some research on what that's about.
Beyond genetics. Above your genetics.
Yeah. It's interesting what kind of things can influence that.
Yep. Well, it's lifestyle.
Yep.
Lifestyle.
That's a lot.
Stress.
Yep.
People stress for nothing. Some people just live stressful lives.
Well, that's
then
true.
There's people that then there's people that just don't live life at all. They just
exist. Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But, so what did you get? Did you get anything out of the show, the Think and Grow Rich show?
I mean, it's stuff that we've discussed many times, so I didn't really take any kind of notes per se.
Okay.
But if somebody hadn't heard about it before or had never read it, it would certainly spark their interest to investigate more, about what that's all about. We have covered it at another time fairly thoroughly, and now we're revisiting it, so like all the stuff from before is coming back. But when you hear it again, sometimes it just settles in more.
Well, you gotta say that it's timeless. It's a timeless treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Timeless, where you could just go ahead and read it constantly. And Napoleon Hill has some really good other stuff too that's deeper. I've got a lot of his work in my collection. But this week we're on chapter 10, The Power of the Mastermind, and there's nothing like having a real mastermind group that is really, really, really all together.
I agree.
My dog was scratching at something, and I was like, what is that? Marley, why are you doing that? He's so cute. He's got to sit next to me while I'm standing, and he's sitting in my chair. But anyway, power is essential for success and the accumulation of money. Plans are inert and useless without sufficient power, and that's personal power, too, to translate them into action. This chapter will describe a method by which an individual may attain and apply power. Power may be defined as organized and intelligently directed knowledge. Didn't somebody say that last night? Power as the term is here used refers to organized effort, sufficient to enable an individual to transmutate desire into its monetary equivalent. Organized effort is produced through the coordination of effort of two or more people who work toward a definite plan in a spirit of harmony. Was not that way in the garden with Mark today towards the end. We lost
harmony. Well, we know it's not his favorite task to do.
Lost a little harmony towards the end. But power is required for the accumulation of money. Power is necessary for the retention of money after it's been accumulated. Let us ascertain how power may be acquired. If power is organized knowledge, let us examine the sources of knowledge. Infinite intelligence. This source of knowledge may be contacted through the procedure described in Chapter 6 with the aid of creative imagination. And just to review, Chapter 6 was the workshop of the mind, prayer, infinite intelligence, tap in, meditation, accumulated experience, and experiment and research. Knowledge may be acquired from any of the foregoing sources and may be converted into power by organizing it into definite plans and expressing those plans in terms of action. Examination of the three major sources of knowledge will readily disclose the difficulty people would have. If they depend upon their efforts alone in assembling knowledge and expressing through definite plans in terms of action, if their plans are comprehensive, and if they are to contemplate large proportions, they must generally induce others to cooperate with them before they can inject into their plans the necessary element of power. So true. Gaining power through the mastermind. The mastermind may be defined as coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of definite purpose. Oh, I love that. That is... Are you still... Yeah, I heard something in the background. No individual may...
Oh, no, I'm here. It's just my tablet.
Well, no individual may have great power without availing him or herself of the mastermind. So, the psychic phase of the mastermind principle is much more abstract, and it's much more difficult to comprehend because it refers to spiritual forces with which the human race as a whole is not well acquainted. You may catch a significant suggestion from the statement, "No two minds ever come together," without thereby creating a third invisible, intangible force, which may be likened to a third mind. Keep in mind that the fact are only two known elements in the whole universe. Energy and matter. This is really, really deep. Are you ready to take a ride?
Yep.
This is really deep. Matter may be broken down
is.
Into units of molecules, atoms, and electrons. There are units of matter that may be isolated, separated, and analyzed. Likewise, there are units of energy. The human mind is a form of energy, part of its being spiritual in nature. When the minds of two people are coordinated in the spirit of harmony, the spiritual units of energy of each mind form an affinity which constitutes the psychic phase of the mastermind. The mastermind principle, or rather the economic feature of it, was first called to my attention by Andrew Carnegie. Discovery of this principle was responsible for the choice of my life's work. Mr. Carnegie's mastermind group, boy, would I love to be a fly on the wall of that thing.
Oh, wouldn't that have been awesome?
Have a staff of approximately 50 men with whom he surrounded himself for the definite purpose of manufacturing and marketing steel. He attributed his entire fortune to the power he accumulated through the mastermind. Analyze the record of any person who has accumulated a great fortune or actually been successful in any endeavor. And many of those who have accumulated modest fortunes, you will find they have either consciously or unconsciously employed the mastermind principle. Great power can be accumulated through no other principle. Energy is nature's set of building blocks out of which she constructs every material thing in the universe, including humankind. And every form of animal, vegetable life. through a process that only nature completely understands. She translates energy into matter. Nature's building blocks are available to us in the energy involved in thinking. The brain may be compared to an electronic battery. It absorbs energy from the ether, which permeates every atom of matter and fills the entire universe. A group of electric batteries will provide more energy than a single battery. An individual battery provides energy in the proportion to the number and capacity of the cells it contains. The brain functions in a similar fashion. This accounts for the fact that some brains are more efficient than others and leads to this significant statement. That is just so cool. Power of thought. So you're putting out this energy, you know. When you go ahead and you create a mastermind, you're putting the energy out. Then you get people that are have the same definite purpose and the same desire, and you come together for that purpose with a spirit of cooperation. My question is, what can't you do? That is, and I've seen it happen. Have you ever seen it happen in your life in any profound way? When you worked with, quote-unquote, a mastermind group or a group of like-minded individuals to accomplish something?
Nothing profound that I can cite, because most of the stuff I've done has been either just with one other person or by myself with just the maybe guidance and assistance. But the only time we were really trying to project the whole mastermind situation, I don't think we really had enough time to see major accomplishments on that. The only other thing I can think of is quantum action partners, maybe.
Attitude of the participants and commitment level of the participants.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a couple people who were pretty committed to showing up all the time, and then there was a couple that were more kind of wishy-washy about it.
But anyway, I will tell you, back in 2009, I started a grassroots organization, and I knew nothing about any of this stuff, okay, really, nothing. But what I knew is things were going in a weird direction and we needed to make some changes. And I coordinated a bunch of people. I started, getting people to come to my meetings, and we had meetings and talking and discussions and trainings, and we ran a campaign, all a bunch of newbies, ran a campaign to victory, and we were outspent 3-1 by a three-term incumbent. It was actually profound. Why? Because we were all tracking in the same direction. We all wanted the same thing. We wanted to defeat this perceived beast. And I'll tell you, and I was at the helm of that puppy. I was driving that bus, and it was pretty cool. It was really cool.
I would imagine, yeah.
And when you, I mean, it was a lot of work, and there was a ton of drama, and, I mean, believe me, anytime you're dealing with groups of people and, you know, emotions get high and blah, 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 but I will tell you when you work in that capacity, what can you not accomplish? And that's why you can't work with people. That's why the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. You cannot work with someone that does not have the same commitment. You don't have to have, you absolutely don't have the same skill sets or talents, but if you don't have the same commitment, it's never going to work.
Not going to work. Exactly. Yeah, I have, now that I've experienced working with people that don't have the same commitment level as you. And if you're the one that has the higher commitment level than the other person, then you find it very frustrating, because you think you pick somebody that's going to be tracking along at your level, and then when they're dragging behind and just dragging and slacking and stuff, it gets very, very frustrating, especially somebody that, like a significant person in your life or partner, somebody you're living with, whatever, and it affects all dynamics of your relationship with that person.
So specifically, do you want to get a little more specific on your situation, what you were talking about, where you had, where you were?
Yeah,
there?
No, we were just trying to build a wonderful eBay business, and all the pieces of the puzzle were there, everything that we needed as far as things to sell on eBay to make it a wonderful business and previous success, so that there was like a tested formula that was working. And then, you know, knowing what I know, I did a lot of goal setting, like we need to have X amount of items, and, you know, every day, you know, there's a certain amount of items need to be gotten onto the system, because that's how you keep up, you know, increasing and increasing what you're going to do. And the plan was for me to have quit my full-time job to just do that, which I really enjoyed doing. And I enjoyed hunting for the stuff and listing it and so forth. And I had my own little systems, but then when the other person's not keeping up with you and the level of enthusiasm, and they're just like, I don't feel like doing it today, and they're not as disciplined in that whole thing, it's like, you know, it's just, it's draining. It drains you.
I guess I have a question. You're talking an eBay business.
Yep.
That would require a partner and a mastermind to do, or is that something that could be done individually?
Well, you could do it individually. It just was A, more fun. B, the hunting for the stuff required a lot of time, so it was good to have a partner that had more time to be out there finding things. And, you know, then doing the proper photography of that, it's all really time-consuming activities. So if you're dividing up the tasks, obviously you can, you know, be a lot more productive that way.
Cool. I still think that's something you could probably do successfully on your own.
Oh, you can. Just all those kind of things, like we say, are just more fun when there's somebody else to share in your enthusiasm and to keep you on track and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm. Like the mastermind principle says, two heads are better than one.
Well, yeah. Plus, you know, you keep each other in check.
Now, this week is going for the potential. This is from our weekly wisdom. And let's see what this says. It says, if you limit your choices to only what seems possible or reasonable. Now, if I read this last week, tell me. I don't think so. Did I read this one last week?
I don't know.
If you limit your choices to only what seems possible or reasonable, you disconnect yourself from what you truly want, and all that's left is compromise. Have you ever said to yourself, if I just wait a little longer, I know this person could change? Or I've seen it in him, her. It isn't really who they are. They're just hurt or depressed or addicted or out of work. Have you ever stayed in a relationship longer than was healthy for you to do so because you were afraid that the best you could hope for? Any excuses you make for another person that explains away something that is hurtful, harmful, or disrespectful to you is going for the potential. I think we talked about this last week, didn't we?
We did, but it's much more pertinent right now, actually. I think it was settling.
Let's do it again, because we have 6 minutes.
Yep.
Any sacrifice you make that relinquishes a valuable piece of your heart or soul is going for someone's potential. Going for someone's potential is a refusal to see who a person is in the moment instead of looking to the future of who they could be and settling for less than you deserve. For example, if you're in a relationship miserable 80% of the time and then you're happy 20% of the time, this is going for potential. Sometimes staying in a safe and miserable and what is known seems easier, taking a risk for unknown future in the name of happiness. Remember, by allowing yourself to settle for someone's potential, you are sacrificing all of your todays for a happier future that may never come. We all have the ability to see people at a soul level, their highest qualities, beauties, and potentials. This is the truth of who they are at the deepest level. Yet, What is also true of any person in their present personality, ego, lower self, their wounds, and you need to ask yourself if this person is, who this person is today works for you. Hanging on to a person who is toxic to your soul because you're afraid of being alone is the equivalent to spiritual prostitution. You are giving yourself away little by little every time you relinquish your dreams in the name of fear. What you have to ask yourself is this: given what I see now and what I know and who this person is today, does it serve my heart and soul to continue this relationship? What percentage of myself do I have to put away in order to be in this relationship? Does this relationship contribute to my life in a positive way and satisfy my present wants and needs? Do I choose to have this person in my life now because it uplifts my heart and soul, or am I hanging on to them for fear of letting go and being alone? This week's exploration: become aware of relationships that drain you, that are unsatisfying, or just don't fulfill you anymore. Get in touch with your fears surrounding letting these relationships go, and become aware of the reasons you have chosen to participate in these relationships for this long. Ask yourself what your payoff has been for choosing to accept and continue these unfulfilling relationships. What beliefs were they reinforcing?
This is so much more pertinent this week than it was last. But I think it gave me food for thought. I think it was part of what's been festering in my mind, because, you know, I've kind of been having a little turmoil with it anyway, struggling with what's really what my heart's saying, and then, you know, what the now is saying. And yeah, it just came time to face reality. I will say it's not easy to make those choices, but it's empowering to do so. But it's not easy, and it still hurts a little bit to do it.
It's a lot easier to have made the choice than to be the chosen one, to have it be chosen upon you.
Yeah, because, right. But I think a lot of people stay put in those situations because it's what they know, and they've been dealing with it, even though I've only been dealing with it for a very, very short while, but still, it's what's comfortable, and I've been dealing with it. And then, like it just said, when you're making the excuses for the person about, well, you know, if I just give them time, I know they'll come around, and they'll, you know, I know they can figure it out, and it's like, yeah, but what cost to you are you allowing them to participate in your life at that level? And if there's less satisfaction and more dissatisfaction, then you have to make those hard choices.
Right. Those choices are freedom, though. Those choices are definitely freeing and freedom.
Yeah, it's definitely, being that this is one of very few times where I consciously made a choice to change that situation or end it, if you want to call it ending, but, you know, to not allow that type of situation to continue. And I haven't done that very often, but it is, you know, it feels better than if the other person says, hey, I don't want to continue this situation. So it's better to realize that it's not working for yourself and move forward.
Right.
You know,
then
the other way.
Yep.
Then to be
kicked.
We
are moving forward as our show will be over in another minute. A great week. Again, thank those who sacrificed all for freedom and liberty for this great country. And thank you, Nancy. Have you been doing your gratitude every day?
I do. It has really become a habit. So there's other 30-day challenge that I'm gonna take a challenge with. So it's time for another challenge in that way, because gratitude has become a habit. It's like brushing my teeth.
All right, so then we need to come up with another 30-day challenge. So I'm happy. I'm healthy, and I'm worthy. Every morning, I'm happy. I'm healthy.
Yep.
And I'm worthy. How does that grab you?
All right,
well, thanks. seconds. This is it. It's a wrap. It's great talking with you right here on Awaken to Empowerment every Monday at 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern. We'll catch you back here next week. Finance.
Ciao.